Wow, they let me come back. So, yeah! I'm excited and scared and all the things. I'm all the things. But, wow, thank you. They're Nikes. I'm really excited and absolutely honored to get to be here again with you guys tonight and to talk about beholding him in our worship and how we do it and why. Let's pray, and we're going to invite the Lord to work tonight. God, we just thank you for already being in this place. God, for your presence already being near. God, we just invite you in to speak to our hearts tonight, God. God, we do want you to consume us. We do want you to have our whole heart. God, have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, we talked about how things change when the posture of our heart in worship, or how it changes our heart when we're in the posture of worship with the Lord, and what happens when we're intentional with that. We allow real peace, we allow him to defend us, and we affect those around us. So I want to build on that tonight, beholding him in spirit and truth through the act of worship, which we just got to do together, which is amazing. And didn't the band do amazing? Like, I feel like the mom. Like, I'm just so excited and proud of everyone. It's something to see when people start in to worship or on our team young, and then they develop over time, and you get to see that and see what God does in their gifts and with their heart, and it's just, it's overwhelming. So I'm just grateful and thankful. Love you guys. I know, don't cry yet. I'm going to make you cry later. I'm just kidding. Don't worry. We're not going to cry, I don't think. We know that music isn't the only form of worship. However, the Bible shows us undeniably that it is an invaluable part of our walk with the Lord. Because the Bible mentions singing over 400 times. And he gives us over 50 direct commands to do so. So I know there's some of us that love singing, and we feel super comfortable when we come into a worship service, and we can easily lift our hands, and we can clap, and we can shout. And then there's some of us that want to die and want to crawl under anything, because I don't want my neighbor to hear me, or I don't have a good voice, or this doesn't fill my cup. I feel weird, or this isn't my taste. I have a different personality. All the things, right? So there's different ways for us to express worship, and singing is just not easy for all of us. It's not comfortable for all of us. Sometimes we're like, we don't want the guy in front of us to hear us. Like, they get the direct line of, vocal cords. You bless them, each week. And you're like, oh, man. And there's some of you, I love it, that you do not care. You do not care. You love Jesus. And nothing's going to stop you. And I love that. But it's a lot of that is our personality. If you tend to be quieter, you probably sing a little softer or quieter. Especially in a crowd, that feels a little intimidating with people next to you in front of you, right? Why should we sing? Why should we praise and show honor to Jesus outwardly? What's singing got to do with it? Okay. If you have your Bible, grab it for me and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And everything in it is true. And everything in it is for me. Yes, we declare that tonight. Let's take a look at what the Bible tells us. We're going to start in Psalms tonight because it's the book of collections of songs. So it's a great place to start when we talk about worship. Psalm simply just means a sacred song, a hymn, a song of praise. We're going to look at Psalms 105:2. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell about all his wondrous works. So when we behold him in our worship, we're proclaiming what he is, his worth, and all he's done. Okay? So sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wondrous works. So one reason we like to sing to the Lord is because it proclaims something great, not about us, not about how amazing our vocal cords are, right? Or how good we can clap on beat, none of that. It's okay. But it's proclaiming his works. So Psalms contains 150 chapters, okay? Out of 1,189 total in Scripture, making it the longest book in the Bible. Given the large amount of material and the poetic nature, it also is the most frequently quoted. The chapters are gathered into 5 books that each end with a doxology. Okay, so doxology, it's just an expression of praise sung to the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. It's common in hymns for the final stanza to be doxology. It comes from a Greek word. I'm going to probably butcher this because I don't know it. So it's doxologia, doxa meaning glory, and logos meaning speaking. So it is pretty clear that God feels a certain way about singing as a form of worship. We are to sing because of who he is and what he has done, and giving praise and all glory to him alone. And we are to speak and sing and shout and proclaim of his worth. In Ephesians 5, 19 through 20, Paul gives a direct command to the church. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. So one reason we sing as a form of worship is simply because he told us to. It's simply because he asks us to. So when we behold him in worship, we are operating in intentionality and obedience. Nothing groundbreaking, right? Aren't you glad you came tonight? You're learning new things. I'm off to a really great start. You came to church and now the worship lady is telling you God wants you to sing, so we should. Okay, that's correct. I am telling you that. Someone that makes a shirt instead of cat lady or plant lady, just call me worship lady. I'll take it. Okay, stay with me. I love how this is something kind of parental, right? Did you ever ask your parents why? They told you to do something and you were like, why? And they said what?
Because I said so.
Yeah. And then us parents in the room, have you said that to your kids before? Yeah. Yeah, because I said so, right? And so God says it a lot nicer right here, but he says, worship because I said so, okay? That's why. Simply because I asked you to. So we sing songs of worship and praise to God because he said so, and it's about obedience. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Do you catch that? He teaches us through singing worship. What? So you become smarter when you sing worship? Did you know that? We become smarter, and the people in the room also benefit from this. It's pretty cool. We're in a room together. We're declaring God's truth. Some of the songs we sing are straight just from the Bible. It's just like opening this and deciding to sing. It's just putting a little easier for us to remember words. But we are singing God's truth or his worth or what he's done for us, our testimony jointly. So people in the room get to hear the goodness of God, and they get to hear how we honor the Lord, and they get to hear scripture. It's just not in the form that we think of, but that's what you're doing every week. That's what you're doing in the drive-thru. I hear you. You know, you got your worship music turned up, you're ready to get your Starbucks, and you're singing praise. Yeah, you are. That barista is getting what you're putting down, okay? They're getting that you love Jesus, right? It's because you're singing truth. You're singing truth. So he teaches us through singing worship. Think about it. When you were young, how did you learn the alphabet? You sang the ABCs, right? Some of us still have to do it. We struggle, right? We sang a song. We put it to a tune. And then we carried out that foundational information the rest of our lives in the form of a song we sing. So, or your times tables. I still do it. Like, I'm in the line at the grocery store, and I'm like, 6, 12, 18, 24, 30. You know, it's very helpful to sing that information. You know, you guys know. You guys know. So, when things are put to music or a song, we remember it. It's easy for us to remember it that way. So, what else? There's a 50-state song. There was like two different versions. Yeah. So how do we know our 50 states in alphabetical order? That's right. Because of, yeah. I love it. You can't forget it. You can't forget it. Tonight on your way home, you're going to be singing Alabama and Alaska. I know you will. So we've learned very foundational knowledge from memorizing information through a song, through singing it, right? Coincidence? Mm-mm. God doesn't do anything ever coincidental. So my kids were little, you know, like every new mom. You're afraid that your kid's going to wander off the minute you turn around, and it's because they usually do, okay? There's a reason we feel like, you know, at any minute they're going to take off running because they're fast. They're faster than you, okay? And I don't care if you're a track star. Two-year-old can outrun you in a minute, okay? They pick their, like, see a little way to get out of wherever they're at, and they take it. Yep, see ya, never, you know, you're like, what were they wearing? I have no idea. I don't even know what I'm wearing today. You're tired. So there was a lot of fear there that my kids would get lost if we were out somewhere. So I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to teach them my phone number, okay? I'm going to teach them my phone number. And I'll never forget it because Ryder is my social one, and we would go to the grocery store to the checkout, and he would be like, my name's Ryder and my favorite color is red, and my favorite Ninja Turtle is Raphael. What's your favorite Ninja Turtle? And they would be like, I don't know. What's the purple one? Like, that's the responses. And then he would tell him, this is my address, and recite his address. And then he would say, and this is my phone number, 817-851. And I was just like, oh my gosh. It kind of backfired on me. But I thought the smartest thing to do would be to teach him my phone number and my husband's phone number to the tune of the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse song. So I did that. And you know, you do what you got to do. So one night, this really came in handy. I know there's a couple of people in the room that know this story. We went to a fall festival in October, and it was dark, and we were in costumes, and there was candy and games at every booth we passed, and we're, you know, collecting stuff with the kids, and, you know, all of a sudden we realize Ryder is not with us. It's dark, and there's just crowds of people, like, in front of, behind. I mean, and we had walked, I mean, into a more open field and still didn't see him. And so I did what every dignified parent does, and I scream like a psycho. I scream, Ryder! And everyone's like, what is going on over here? And I am undignified in this because my kid is missing. He's lost. He's little. He needs his mom. We need to find him. And I don't know how to do this. And I'm hysterical. And it seemed like 30 minutes. It was probably like one. And then my husband's phone rings. So he picks it up. And it's a lady. And she's like, hey, your son is at my booth. She tells us where. We go to him. He's crying. I'm crying. We're all crying. And he was lost. And so he walked up to the lady at the booth crying. And he said, I told her I was lost and I need to call my dad. And then I sang 817-999-9925-525. Tears rolling down his eyes. So he memorized that little truth because he was lost that night. But he knew he had what he needed to be found. And it was in a song. Pretty powerful that what you memorize through scripture and song might be what you need in moments that you get a little lost. Singing praises to God helps us to not only declare his truth, but remember it. It teaches and builds up wisdom within us, but it also does the same with the people that surround us. A couple of years ago, I got to spend a couple months with my friend Joy's mom, Miss Ruby. This is me and Miss Ruby. You probably have seen this sweet little face. She used to sit right over here. And she was quiet. And she sat quietly most of the time. She smiled a lot. And Joy, her daughter, is one of my dearest friends and a big part of our worship team here at Grace Point. And she needed somebody to come and hang out with her mom for a little bit. And I got to do that. So Ruby was at the point in her life where she couldn't remember anything. She couldn't remember people's names. She couldn't remember what she ate or if she ate that day. She couldn't remember that she hadn't got dressed for the day. She would come out in her pajamas and she was like, this is good. It's great. And I agreed. I think we should all stay in our pajamas. She was a light, and I've literally got to think about her all day long, and it's just, it's been such a sweet day just remembering my time with her. So she really didn't remember a whole lot, but one day her and I sat outside by the pool all day long, and we only came in to eat lunch, and then we went right back outside to enjoy the day. But when Joy got home, she let her know that we did not go outside all day and I didn't feed her. I was in big trouble. I was in big trouble that day. And I will never forget the very first time that she met us and I spent time with her. Joy walked in the kitchen and she came and hugged Joy. And then she looked at me and she said, Joy, she's a little weird. She wasn't wrong. She wasn't wrong. But I loved her. I loved her so much, and she was easy to love. So we often would sit in silence, just enjoying each other's company. I did get Snapchat out one day and put faces on us. and we looked like little bunnies, and she really liked that. So she didn't chat a whole lot. Unless you asked her questions, and then she was just kind of intently listening to you and what you had to say. And this changed one day when I turned on some hymns. Let me show you what happened.
With no last days to sing God's praise, than when we first begun.
Do you see that? There's lots of things that Miss Ruby didn't remember, but she remembered the important things. She remembered the eternal things. When you would read scripture, her face would light up. She knew what those words meant. when a familiar tune came on, she came to life. She would sing so loud, and her hand would just move with the music. She was declaring some truth. Something happens when God's word and truth about who he is and what he has done begin to play. She remembered. Is that amazing?
Yes.
She knew who he was. She never forgot the Lord. It was sewn into her memory. Listening to and singing music reactivates areas of the brain associated with memory, reasoning, speech, emotion, and reward. Two recent studies, one in the United States and the other in Japan, found that music doesn't just help us retrieve stored memories, it helps us to lay down new ones. So are you ever somewhere and like a familiar song plays and you're like, oh my gosh, that makes me think of seventh grade. You know, you can smell the cafeteria food. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And you can smell the smell of like new pencils. It takes you back. Or you hear something and it reminds you of the time that you spilled purple slushy in your mom's car and she never let you forget it. Or maybe it's a song that you walk down the aisle to at your wedding and it comes on and you're filled with all of the emotions and all of the butterflies and you're like, oh, I really love my husband today or my wife. They're great, right? Music is powerful. It brings things back to the front of our memory that maybe have gotten down the levels a few, you know, and all the other things have covered it up. And also, it makes us feel things. It shifts things inside of us. Can we talk about science for a minute? Okay, so I wanted Randy to play Bill Nye the Science Guy for me, but he was like, I'm not as cool as Bill Nye, but I'm a homeschool mom, and science is one of our favorites because we get to do things that are messy, and they do really cool things that you never expected. You know, it's really cool to see what we see in Scripture and then science work together because God created them both. So this is what happens when we behold Jesus in our worship with singing and music. There is amazing research about what happens to our brains. So when we sing worship out loud with gratitude and thanksgiving, I'm going to talk about two things, and these are crazy little words, okay? One is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. That is a, there's no test after, don't worry. It's a key molecule involved in plastic changes related to learning and memory, and it helps us grow new brain cells, okay? The next thing is gamma waves. Gamma brain waves are the fastest brain waves produced inside your brain, and they can improve your cognitive and problem-solving ability and increase a positive mood. That sounds good, right? So when we worship, there's an increase in BPNF, which helps retain information and put it to memory. Okay, I want to read, don't get lost yet. It's just a tiny science lesson, okay? I want to read this excerpt from D.N.P. Michael, I think it's Leidke. He's an author of a 2018 study titled Neurophysiological Benefits of Worship, so you can look that up later and kind of, it's a long thesis, it's very long, but there's really cool information. But he found that when we worship God, there's an increase in BPNF, which is a neurotransmitter that helps us grow those healthy brain cells, and every morning we wake up with 300 million more brain cells. Yeah, isn't God good? That's amazing. So when we worship, gamma waves are created in our brain that can actually help us feel the presence of God. Psalm 22:3 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. we actually get a physical boost as these gamma waves fire in our brains while we worship. Did you know that? What? So he agrees that the gamma waves do more than just make us feel better, change our mood. They actually increase our intelligence too. Oh my goodness. Research has shown that as you worship, you increase in wisdom. And there's an increase in your capacity to understand the goodness of God. So your relationship with God deepens as you worship. But your understanding goes with it. As you worship, your brain is comprehending wisdom from the living word. And it's helping grow your capacity to understand that God absolutely adores you and loves you. Interestingly, he found that just 7 minutes of worship every day changes your brain. So when we behold him in worship, it shapes us. Did you know that beholding him in worship can change your brain? We know it can change our heart. We know it can change our heart. But it can change our brain. It's called neuroplasticity. Worship shapes us. Something extremely amazing happens when we do it together, corporately. When we worship together, singing particularly, with other people, it causes the brain to produce unusually high levels of oxytocin. And that makes us feel like we can trust. It puts us in a mood of solidarity and connectedness with the people around us. So when we just did what we just did, we got to worship, but together in this room, and lift all of our voices up and worship the Lord and honor him and sing his truth, sing his word. It produced a level of oxytocin that made us feel like we could trust what was happening in the room. We could trust the people around us. And that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a connectedness. If you've ever been to a football game and, man, it's a good game, but your team is down, you know, and you're like, oh, man, I bought this jersey. I spent a whole lot of money. I really hope they pull this together, right? What do you do with the people around you? You rally, right? You get a group of crazy people together that will shout and yell and scream and clap and jump and paint their faces, and you rally your team together. But if you can't find the team, you know, to connect with, it's just you, which that's so nice. It's nice of you. But it doesn't have the same effect as when you're connected with a body and you're yelling the same thing and you're shouting the same thing and all of your attention is turned to the one thing. It does something different, right? So it is valuable for us to sing and worship alone. That's how we connect to the Lord. That's how we honor him. That's how we learn who he is and his nature. But there's another part of it where we get to do it with each other. There's another part of it that when we're in solidarity, when we're trusting one another, when we're focused on Jesus together, and we're singing and proclaiming his truth. I mean, think about it. We are singing the same words, right? the exact same words at the exact same time. Makes you think if the enemy is in the room, he probably wants to leave. He probably wants to go. He probably feels very unwelcome, right? Because it's you and your brothers and sisters singing about God Almighty and what he is going to do and what he has done and the truth of who he is. So there's something so powerful about that. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're in your home and you're like, hey, I need to have, you know, this meeting with the Lord and we need to get some things straightened out and there's some things going on and I need to cry out in front of him. I need to get on my knees. I need to worship him. I need to pray over my children. I need to pray over my job. And you do those ugly, you know, cry prayers, go for it. Okay, God answers those prayers too. He hears that too. Your worship is powerful there too. But God never designed us to be alone in things, right? Because he does nothing, coincidentally, when we sing together. When we sing together, things happen in our brains and our hearts collectively all at the same time. Have you ever been in your car, like on your lunch break, and you just had like the worst day? And you're like, I'm just going to sit in my car. I'm going to stay at home, Mom. Y'all don't get to do this. I'm just dreaming. I'm dreaming of what you guys get to do. I'm just kidding. There was a time in my life where I went to work and I did feel this way, but it is funny because it hasn't been in a while. But you have the worst day and you're like, I'm just going to get in my car. I'm going to put on my worship music. I'm just going to be in this moment because I'm mad or I'm hurt or frustrated. And then your 30 minutes is up and you got to go back to work. You feel a little different. Most of the time you don't leave as mad or as upset. You're like, oh, I guess it was just that 30 minutes. You had like an hour back in that situation, but you removed yourself and you chose to honor the Lord and worship him. So his truth was pouring in, right? So it does something to your brain and it makes you feel better. Is that crazy? That worshiping the Lord makes you feel better. In this series, it's so funny. None of it is really directed towards us and our benefit of worshiping the Lord, but it's just like the Lord when you honor him and obey him to want to bless you. So we don't behold the Lord because it has benefits, but it does have benefits. We don't pray to him because it makes us a good person. We don't honor him because, well, my mom always said I should. Right? We do it because he's worthy. We do it to declare his works. We do it to obey and be intentional. We do it because it makes us who we are. It shapes us. It shapes our heart and our mind. I don't know about you, but if there's anything that I want to shape me, it's Jesus. Because we can get shaped by a lot of things. We can get shaped from our sins. That begins to change our heart and our mind. Because everything that these benefit, we can find a counterproductive thing to do with it. We're just really awesome like that. But God is so good that we have sins and he offers forgiveness. that we have questions and he offers answers. That we get lost and he is quick to want to find us, or at least he gives us the tools to find our way back home. But if we choose to behold him, he offers so many things to us. There's studies upon studies upon studies of what happens when scripture and science meet and they match, and everyone's like, whoa, yeah, he made it. He made it. He created everything so perfectly. It's also mind-boggling. Like, what? How? We just got to see a solar eclipse. What? It was beautiful and crazy, and your mind just had a hard time comprehending what was happening. It's just a wonder. I can't help but think like what God was thinking. We're all with our little glasses. We're looking up. He's like, oh, they're so funny. but also, like, to behold that in that moment, it was so much that we couldn't see it with our own eyes, that we had to have protective glasses. Because it's overwhelming. So what's singing got to do with it? A lot. Did you know that? That God wants us to proclaim worship to him and honor him with our voices and our hands raised and our eyes closed and our heart posture towards him. He wants all of those things, but it's not just because he wants it. It's because he loves you. And it teaches us and it draws us closer to him. It gets etched into our memory. Like Miss Ruby, gets woven into who we are, so that when things aren't as clear, there's something that is. And it's Jesus Christ, what he's done for us, his love he has for us, and the hope that we have in him. I'm just so overwhelmed by how good he is. It's hard to even believe that God would want me to behold him, that he would want my attention. So I'm just a worship lady. But he does. He wants our worship. He wants us to sing praises to him and honor him. He wants us to remember where to go when we're lost. 817-992-5525. Don't be calling my husband, y'all. He wants us to know. Commit it to memory. We live in a time where there is an abundance of worship music, praise music. I mean, every genre. So if you don't like one kind, I promise you, you'll find the fit for you. Find it. Grow in him, honor him, behold him in your worship. Yes, sing, sing. I just wonder, the next time that you hear a song or that you get in your car on your lunch break, if you'll think about how God's going to alter something in your brain to help you through the day because you chose to worship him. That blows me away. Science is so fun. It really is. I have a kid that loves rocks. She loves rocks and lizards, and I like the rocks better. Yeah. Y'all, one time, she really loved robes for a long time, like the, you know, bathrobes. And that's what she wore a lot over her regular clothes. And you know what? When they're little, you just let them. Like, I mean, sometimes I want to be in my bathrobe too. Cool. You know, it's cozy. But she came in from playing outside in her bathrobe, of course. And it's dirty. And, you know, she played in the dirt and all the things. And she had her hand in her pocket like this. And everything she did, she ate her food with one hand and did everything with one hand. And I was like, Paisley Jane, what is in your pocket? And she said, nothing. I said, Paisley Jane, what's in your pocket? She pulls out a lizard. And I was like, that goes outside right now. She's like, but he's asleep. Yeah, I'm sure he is now. How long has he been in there? You know, she is a lover of all things nature and science. And I love that for her because we've gotten to explore so many things that bring us right back to Jesus. How Jesus made all of these things, how he created these things, and how everything works. And I mean, it's amazing. It's overwhelming. So we can behold him in all things. We can honor him. We can absolutely worship in so many different forms. Singing is not the only one. That's what we talked about last week. There are so many things, so many different ways we can honor him in our worship. But it's pretty clear singing is a part of it. So get your vocal runs down. I expect it to sound so much different on Sunday. I want to hear that, you know, the Mariah Carey's out there. I know you're out there. So you and I were made to worship. We were created to worship with the posture of our heart and the things that we do and with singing. So let's behold him in worship. It's good for your heart and it's good for your brain. Beholding him in worship. It's a blessing to us. As it blesses him, it just keeps on flowing. Do you love Jesus tonight? Do you have gratitude in your heart? Do you want to know him more? It sounds like you're in the perfect place to behold him. It sounds like the posture of your heart is in line with worship. It sounds like God's going to do some amazing things in this house because there's a willingness, there's a hunger. There's obedience. There's intentionality. There's a lot of smart people in this room. There's a lot of wise people in this place. There's a lot of people that have been through some things with the Lord. And can testify to every single thing that he said in his word because they've lived some of those things. They're like, yep, he was there when I needed him. Yep, he was there in this time. Yep, when I prayed, this is what happened. Yep, when I trusted him, it's exactly how he said. I'm looking at Miss Linda right now. She's one lady who knows the Lord, and she's walked with the Lord, and she knows that this is true. She's got wisdom. There's people in this room, and don't be offended because I'm talking to myself too. They're smarter and wiser than us, okay? Everybody has that person that they can learn from and grow from. I cannot tell you how valuable that is. And I want to speak to the wise ones just for a second. This is not in any of this. The wise ones in the room, we need you. We need to know what you've been through. We need to know what you did. We need to know how this all works. We need to know where you went when you were scared. We need to know the nights that you were afraid and you called on the Lord and what happened. We need to know the things that you've lived through, and we need to know the things that you endured. We need to know how the Lord showed up for you. Why? Because it's encouraging. It lifts us up. And it gives those of us who, and I'm not saying I'm young, there's a lot of young people over here, but it gives us somebody who knows what we're going through. It gives us somebody who loves the Lord and we can trust. It gives us people to go to instead of Instagram or Tickety Talk. Some good things on their recipes and all the things, but it's not the same. We need the wise ones. We need them to teach us. But we also need to be teachable. And so I can't help but think that as we sing in worship and we behold the Lord in worship, and we're at different seasons of our life, and some of us have just met Jesus, and some of us have known him our whole lives and have walked with him for 50 years. But we still can come together and corporately worship, right? Lift our voices together. And that's where trust and connection is built. But it shouldn't stop there. We need to learn from each other, grow with each other, spend time with each other, go get coffee. Care what you say, there's something holy about coffee. Can't tell me anything different. And Dr. Pepper, am I right? Yeah. Yeah, that's not in the Bible. Yeah, you know what? I have so many questions for Jesus when we get to heaven. Okay. Well, would you stand with me? Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for being in this place. We thank you that you have made us to worship you. We thank you that you have created things inside of us to react and change when we worship you. God, I pray, Lord, that as we continue throughout this week, we would take time and sing worship and honor and praise to you. I pray, Lord, that we would make this a regular thing in our life. God, that we would recognize the power that is in singing your praise and how powerful it is to do it together. God, we just thank you so much for loving us, for making all things just work together in ways we couldn't even imagine. God, we just want to honor you in all we do. Help us to do that. Help us to love you. Help us to be intentional. Help us to reach out to each other. Help us to create connections. Help us to strengthen this house. So that we can be unified, that we can have a family, that we can have connection just the way that you designed it. Strengthen this house, Lord, and we just ask those things in your name. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.